What's up? This is Ryan Reese. I'm excited to be touring the Holy Land this year with my parents, Raul and Sharon Reese. It's going to be epic. Every time I go to Israel, you learn something new and you literally see the Bible come to life. A few years back, I was sitting at the Garden of Gethsemane and they were telling us that story about Jesus when he was at the crossroads, not my will, but thy will be done. And after they shared that story, that was the story that impacted my life forever. And I would love for you guys to come out and join us to see what God wants to do in your life. Maybe you're at that crossroads and you want to follow God 100%. This trip to Israel will literally change your life. Come out and join us this year. It's going to be epic.
Get together with Raul, Sharon, and Ryan Reese for a trip to the land of Israel, April 23rd through May 3rd, 2018. For more information, go to somebodylovesyou.com. That's somebodylovesyou.com. And click on the tab Israel 2018 or call Inspire Travel at 714-957-8606. That's 714-957-8606.
The Christian has a binding duty not to destroy, but to do what? But to save. Not that we can save others, but that we can share with them. And listen, the biggest sharing of our lives is the way we live. That's the most impressive thing among Christians.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today's message from Raul continues our salvation series with a challenge for all of us this Christmas season. As we celebrate the birth of our Savior this Christmas, Raul will urge us to proactively share the hope we have with those who have not yet received Christ. Stay with us for encouragement to not give up on the doubting or the defiant, but to keep offering the good news of the gospel. Today's message is titled, Winning the Lost. Here's Raul Reese now in Jude chapter 1, verse 22 and 23.
He says, "And some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." So here Jude has been dealing with false teachers, false prophets, and now Jude, in closing the book, is concerned for the lost. What's going to happen to the lost? Because these verse 22 and 23 are literally sister to verses that 20 and 21. They're coming together. In verses 20, 21, we saw Jude telling us what we ought to do for ourselves as Christians. But now in verse 22 and 23, he's talking about how God has not only called him, but every one of us to rescue the lost. The lost, to have compassion for the lost. The Christian has a binding duty not to destroy, but to do what? But to save. Not that we can save others, but that we can share with them. And listen, the biggest sharing of our lives is the way we live. That's the most impressive thing among Christians. And Jude here has given us instruction on how to deal with these three types of sinners that we're going to study. Let's look at the first one in verse 22. The sinners who are in great doubt about salvation. You see, these are the ones that are constantly doubting God. The word doubting means uncertainty of mind. Uncertainty of mind. They don't have a sound mind. They're always doubting. They're always questioning. But they don't come to faith in Jesus Christ. They don't come to believe in Jesus Christ. These are those who are flirting with falsehood. They're not afraid to die. They're not afraid of hell. And yet there is a place called hell and heaven, and yet they deny it. Totally deny it. They are attracted by the wrong way of living, not to holiness, but on the brink of committing themselves to error. and still hesitating before God, they take a final step, either to come to Christ or they stay out of Christ's way. They don't want to come to Jesus Christ. They are argumentative, and they believe the error they're living in their own lives. They believe the lie rather than the truth. So we have to keep this in record, and our minds have to be clear that Jude is talking about these doubters that actually God is trying to save, but they don't really want to come to Christ. They reject God's salvation. They reject God's invitation to come to Him and not to be fearful so that God can touch their hearts and their lives. And because of the doubt that they possess, and the power that Jesus Christ has to save them, they will become sons of perdition. They will be lost. And too much is given, much more will be required. You see, when people die without Christ, they can't say, well, I never knew. Yes, they knew. They're going to be held accountable for the light before they go into darkness. They're going to be judged. And what's incredible about these people that Jude is talking about here, that God always has faults in people's lives. Let me give you some of the things here, for example. How about Satan put doubt in people's minds? Satan always put doubts in people's minds, and people believe it. Listen, in Genesis 3:4, remember what happened there? And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Remember Eve, before she partook of the fruit? She was talking to Satan. Satan was talking to her. And in order to convince her, he said, if you eat of the tree of life, you're not going to die. God is lying to you. So why don't you take of this tree and partake of it? And you know what? You will become like gods. Secondly, how about unbelief comes from doubting? Unbelief. Luke 1:18 says, and Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words. Unbelief. Which will be fulfilled in their own time. Zechariah, think about that. He did not believe that John the Baptist was going to be born and that Jesus would come next. And until John the Baptist was born, then he was able to speak. Just like the Word of God says, he was a doubter. He was doubting unbelief. How about thirdly, worldly wisdom? In 1 Corinthians 1:18, he says, Paul, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, notice, not only saved, we are being saved. It is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe by preaching the cross. For the Jew requests a sign. The Greek seeks after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jew a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Wow. Amazing how the gospel of Jesus Christ. How about fourthly, spiritual instability? Spiritual instability, James 1:6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the waves of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Doubting. So as believers, we are not only to reach out to those that do not believe, but have compassion for them. To tell them about their need for Jesus Christ. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 34, 6, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. If people are sincere and they call upon God, they shall be saved. They shall be saved. God doesn't need us to witness to them. If they're in an urgency, they can call out to God like a ship going down, a plane going down. Those people that are going down immediately, if they call upon God and they're sincere, guess what? They're going to be saved. They're going to be saved. Why? Because God checks the heart. So it's important that we understand that. Here, Jude is talking about obeying the words. He says, and some have mercy in those who are in doubt. And those that doubt, we need to be merciful to them. We need to be careful that we don't cast them away. But explain to them the word of God. The word, notice, explain to them salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. That salvation is the free gift of God. As I put my faith in Jesus Christ by believing that he is the Son of God and that he is God. Then what happens? He saves me. He cleanses me. He washes me by his blood. The second type of sinner is the sinners who are in great danger of hell. Verse 23, the first part. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Notice that, pulling them out of the fire. Where's the fire? Hell. These are told to deal with them by approaching them, notice, with fear. The fear of God that is so important. These are the worst condition than those who are in a snatch from the flames. There are those also who what? That are going to have to be snatched from the fire. They're on their way to hell. And we can reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ and pull them out of the fire if we share the truth with them. There is no reason why they can't be saved. Jude here is referring to something other than eternal fire. He mentions in verse 7, yes, there is an eternal fire, and they're already here. They're not dead yet, but they're slipping into the fire. And before they go into the fire, we can reach out and touch them and pull them from the fire. Listen, there is a fire. Number one, there's a lake of fire. The Bible says that in Revelation 20:11. Listen. And then I saw the great white throne judgment of him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small, great, standing before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books, which means what? The non-believer, since the day he is born to the day he dies without Christ, God keeps record of everything they do. There's a book. When we came to Christ, that book was erased because of Jesus Christ and his blood and the gift of salvation. Watch what he says. The sea gave up the dead that was in it. The dead in hell delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I mean, the gospel, the word of God. There is a hell and there is a what? A fire in hell and also a lake of fire. We do not know where the lake of fire is. We do not know. Somewhere, God has a lake of fire. And it's important that we understand that so many people will go to hell and then the lake of fire. How about Jesus speaking about brimstone and fire? In the book of Genesis 19:15, remember when the angel came and warned? Listen, he says, and when the morning dawned, the angel urged Lot to hurry and say, get out and take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took a hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, they brought him out and set him outside of the city. And then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. The judgment of God came through fire. If you really believe in heaven, you really believe in hell and the lake of fire, you're going to change. You're going to be fearful. You're going to watch the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you serve God. Especially knowing that we're living at the end of time. We know that the rapture is going to come one day. And the most horrible thing would be for our church or any church for believers to be taken and then to have believers that are left behind. God means what he says in the Word of God. If we truly believe the scriptures, then we need to pluck these people out of the fire before it's too late for them. And then thirdly, the sinners who are in great depravity. Verse 23, the second part. Having even the garments defiled by the flesh. These are those whom we must pity and fear at one of the same time because they don't want to listen. Here Jude is thinking of something which is always true. Listen, there is the danger to the sinner, but there is also the danger of the rescuer. Think of how many people that have been saved and they stop going to church, they stop reading their Bibles, they stop praying, and pretty soon they were back with their old friends, back in their old sins, which we call backsliding. If we're going to be salt and light in the world, whoever it may be, mother, father, brother, whoever, if you truly want to see them in heaven, then be true light and be true salt. Be a preservative. Be a healer. Salt heals. The light puts the darkness away. The moment you turn the light on, the darkness is gone. And yet, why would you want to go back to the darkness? Remember the children of Israel coming out of Egypt? They wanted to go back, the leeks, the carrots, and all those things. They were in bondage. There were no carrots or leeks or cucumbers because of unbelief. They were blind. God here was trying to rescue and bring them to the light, and they wanted to go back to the darkness. That's the world's today. That's the way the church is today. Why would you want to go back to drinking when God delivered you from alcohol? The drugs, adultery, single fornication. I mean, all these sins, why would you want to go back after God delivered you? He took you out of the world and brought you to the kingdom of God. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you so much that he's not willing that any person should perish, but all should come to repentance. Remember in Leviticus, let me read to you, Leviticus 13:47, he says this, and also if a garment has leprous plague in it, whether it be wooden garment or linen garment, whether it is a wrap or wool, linen or wool, whether it's leather or anything made of leather, and if the plague is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the leather, whether it's wrapped on wood or in wool or leather, it is leprous plague. He's talking about leprosy. That in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 13, when someone would have leprosy, nobody could touch that person. They were isolated. Remember when a leper would be walking down the street and wind was going up to the person, the wind was blowing up. If the wind was blowing up and you were walking toward that leper, the leper would have to say this, you say, unclean, unclean coming through. And the leper would have to move out of the way so that you could walk by. Leprosy also is a type of sin. Jesus healed leprosy, which is incurable, just like he cleanses sin in our lives. He forgives us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And think of how many people don't even know the Word of God. They have no security. They have no wisdom. They have no knowledge because they do not know the stories of the Bible, what the Bible teaches. And yet the Bible teaches about God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. All the things that we need to know as believers. It's like he said, I know in whom I have believed. I have no doubts. I know who my Savior is. I know that I am a Christian. I know that I'm going to heaven. Do you have that assurance? Even tonight. These people had no assurance concerning that. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lustful desires. Secondly, we are not to love the flesh. We are not. 1 John 2:15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it too. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Forever. Thirdly, we are not to walk after the flesh. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God. Notice, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did sending it by his Son Jesus Christ in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God. He's made it so clear to Christians he's talking to, not non-believers. Fourthly, we are to crucify the flesh. Crucifying the flesh. Galatians 5:24. And those who are in Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh and with its passions and desires. If we live, notice, in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another by envying one another. So here the Lord not only speaks to each one of us individually, but if we study 1 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 6, Galatians 5, Ephesians 5, and we go through the New Testament, every letter is written to believers. And if he says that if we practice these things, we shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's message is titled, Winning the Lost, and we've made at least three ways for you to hear the message again. You can go to SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com, download the message as a podcast through iTunes, or get your own personal copy in an unedited form for a gift of any amount. To do that, just call 800-634-9165. And as you consider your God-given role in guiding others to Christ, we'd like to offer you a resource that will help you keep the good news of the gospel fresh in your mind. We've put together three messages from Raul into an MP3 collection simply titled Salvation. Each of these lessons explores what the Bible tells us about God's plan to offer forgiveness, restoration, and eternal relationship to every person who comes to Him in genuine repentance. Contact us today to purchase this series as a helpful witnessing tool or to give as a gift this Christmas. To order, just visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com or call 800-634-9165. For a gift of just $7.95 plus shipping and handling, we'll send you this all-new Salvation MP3 collection of three messages. The phone number again is 800-634-9165. Our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We'd like to remind you, when you partner with Somebody Loves You Radio, you're taking an active role in equipping Christians to live faithfully in the workplace and at home. Your contributions are an investment in the kingdom of God and help strengthen the local church through sound Bible teaching every day. We invite you to call or write and make a contribution. They're tax deductible and are a great encouragement to us as well. Coming up on Monday, we'll continue our series on salvation with a look at the high value God places on the soul of every person he's created. Now here's Raul once again with a final thought from today's message.
That's why I exhort you today, because I love you. If you're walking in the flesh, get out of the flesh. Start being obedient. It's going to cost you. Yes, it costs all of us. It's not easy. It is hard. Because we have desires. I mean, men have problems with women. Women have problems with men. We have problems with money. We have all these problems and issues that are so easy to bend to them and to go ahead and do that. But at the same time, if I reckon the old man to be dead, and I don't want to hurt my wife, I don't want to hurt my children, but most important, I don't want to sin against God. If we keep that in mind, then you know what? You're going to be victorious. Because many of you might have accepted Christ many years ago or maybe just lately. But then look at the fruit in your life. Remember what he said in John 15? The vine is Christ. He says, when the vine grows and the branches come forth, he says, when the branches are dying, what does he do? If there's no fruit, he cuts them and throws them into the fire. But if it's giving fruit, what does he do? He trims it so that it brings more fruit the next year. That's what happens to us in our trials and temptations. We're getting pruned, not cut off, so that we can bring more fruit for Jesus Christ.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.